please open them to Romans chapter 1. The book of Romans chapter 1. What I want to do tonight is actually kind of springboard off of a statement that the Lord Jesus Christ said in the book of Matthew chapter 14 that we looked at this morning. Jesus said, if you remember in verse number 9, he said, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world. And I want to kind of springboard on that, and we're going to go into the book of Romans chapter number 1 tonight and really just kind of dig in on some thoughts of why the gospel still works. You know, we live in a culture where new things are really, sometimes new things are a blessing. I mean, we know that. It's nice to get new things, and everybody likes new things. But we live in a culture that has gotten so engulfed with an attitude that we got to have something else. We got to have something more when it comes to salvation, when it comes to the message of the Bible. Sadly, in our land, there are many and even many, I lost my monitors, completely lost my monitors. Hello, 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 hello. Hello. Don't do that to me. Don't like that. Don't like new things, amen. Don't like when you mess with my monitors. But we live in a culture and we live in a world that wants to change a lot. And they want to really kind of throw out everything and throw out tradition. And I'm not saying that tradition is always right, but there are some traditions that are good. But when it comes to the Bible and when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ absolutely still works. God still uses the gospel. Amen? He still uses it. And the question we invoke is simply this: why does he still use it? I mean, why does God still use the gospel message? You know, it was the gospel message that you heard preached or maybe shared in a gospel track. And I know there's some saying in here that a gospel track was used tremendously in your life and how God used that to get you saved. The gospel of Christ. The gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. The word gospel just simply means the good news. And ladies and gentlemen, it is good news. The message of the gospel is good news. The good news that Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again. That's the gospel. But the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans chapter number 1 is going to give us some insights into why the gospel of Jesus Christ still works. God still uses it. So with that, Romans chapter number 1, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. Romans chapter 1. Paul says in verse number 14, very familiar passage. You perhaps know this passage inside and out. Paul says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Verse 15 of Romans 1. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed, look at this, of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. We pray your blessings on the reading of it. And we just ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will be our teacher and our guide. And we'll praise you, God, for what you're going to do in our service. In Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Why does the gospel of Jesus Christ still work? Well, the first thing that we have to understand about the gospel message is its origin. The origin of the gospel of Jesus Christ really, really shouts to us why God still uses that. If you'll back up in the earlier verses of our text of Romans chapter 1, notice what Paul says about the gospel. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, verse 1, separated, notice this, unto the gospel of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ originated with God. You know, we have to understand, and I know you do, and you understand, you realize this, that when it comes to the gospel, that wasn't a man-made opinion. That was a God originated plan to redeem a lost and dying world from their sins. Aren't you thankful that God was up to something before the foundation of the world in the context of redeeming a fallen people? God was up to something. You've heard me say, but I was told by a lady one time at the door who of my in-laws, Jehovah's Witness, and she said to me that God did not know. She said this, God did not know that man would fall. She said that to me. And I said, oh, ma'am, I said, yes, God did know that. And I said, because he knew that, he sent Jesus. Because he knew that, he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross of Calvary. And the Bible says about Jesus that he was slain from the foundation of the world. Now, in the context of that, Jesus Christ, as I said this morning, was born to die. Now, Paul really gives us, in the context of this gospel of God, now in verse number 16, he said it was the gospel of Christ. Now, why would he call it the gospel of Christ and then the gospel of God in verse number 1? Simply put, because Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. The deity of Jesus Christ. You see the deity of Christ, if you parallel verse 16 and verse number 1, Paul was separated unto the gospel of God. He's separated unto the gospel of Christ. It's the same gospel. It's the gospel message, the message, the good news about Jesus Christ. It was this gospel that gave him a purpose. It was this gospel that gave him a compelling purpose in life. His goal and his purpose was to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. Jesus said in Mark chapter 14, as we read this morning and even allude to tonight, that Christ, talking about the woman who anointed his body with her alabaster box or perfume, he said, where the gospel, when it goes forth into a whole world, take the gospel literally, to the whole world, tell people about this lady and what she did. Now, Christ understood the seriousness of it. He understood how it worked. He understood why it was so valuable. That's why when Paul, under this origin and understanding that Paul had this compelling purpose, that's why he says in verse 14 and 15, he said, first of all, I'm ready. For verse number 15, he said, I'm dead, or verse 14. Verse 15, he says, I am ready. In verse number 16, he said, I'm not ashamed. Now, why would he say that? Because, friend, the gospel is what God uses to save people. I'll go as far as saying this. God will not save anybody. Hear me. Those of you who maybe watch the internet, God will not save anyone without the gospel. He won't do it. You say, well, but preacher, surely in such a diverse culture, and surely in such a culture with all kinds of different opinions, surely there's got to be more than one way to God. Well, in the authority of the Bible, God says, but let God be true and every man a liar. So Jesus Christ is the only way to God. The Bible tells us, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why, Paul? Because of its origin. Paul called it the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God. It originated in the mind and heart of God. And what a joy to know that God indeed is in control. Now, that's why it's so important. And I know you hear me say this, and I hope not to bore you, but I hope you understand. That's why it's so imperative that everything that we do with a purpose in mind. We do with soul winning. I know the teens are going out on Wednesday nights and have been for a couple of weeks starting in June. I think it's the 19th. We'll start going out as the church, as far as the whole everybody, not just the teens, through June, July, and August on Wednesday nights, and I encourage you to be a part of that. Sunday school teachers, you don't have a choice to do that. You have to be a part of that if you're going to teach in the fall. But the point is, it's so important. And you say, preacher, why is it important that teachers be out on visitation? Here's why it's important. Because I don't want you to be a hypocrite standing before your class. Amen? I'm trying to protect you. And if you're going to stand up and teach on soul winning, then we need to be a soul winner as well. Amen? Now, I know now to some, listen, I do, and you know me as your heart and as your preacher. Some of you work on Wednesday nights, and we give you visits to make so that maybe in the weekends or other days you can do your visits. But we want everybody to be involved in the soul winning campaign here at Emmanuel Shea Baptist. Why, preacher? Because God still uses, he still uses the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, hear my heart. Here's what the Bible is so absolutely determines and so absolutely establishes fact. The gospel still works in 2013, but ladies and gentlemen, if I'm dead and gone and Jesus hasn't come back for 1,000 years, hear me, he'll still be using the gospel. He'll still be using that. You say, yeah, but man, preacher, can you imagine what's going to happen in 1,000 years? All I can say is, may God have mercy. Amen. If this world lasts another 1,000 years. We see this compelling purpose. We see his clear perspective about the gospel. We see its origin. But second of all, notice the operation of the gospel. In verse number 16, Paul says, look at it. It is the power of God. The only message that God uses to save a lost and dying world is the gospel. Now, I know I've heard a lot of people say this, and they mean well. And I am absolutely certain that living a consistent life as a believer in Jesus is important. Amen? It's important. But you are well aware, right, that you don't win people with your life. Please hear my heart on this. Let me give some clarity here. You don't win people to Christ with your life. You have to say something with your lips. Amen? That's where the message of the gospel comes in. Now, your life needs to be consistent. If Jesus Christ has saved you, you need to look like he has. Amen? You need to act like he has. You need to, your life needs to be consistent with the Bible. If it isn't consistent with Bible behavior, then you have to do an examination. Number one, maybe you're truly never been saved. Or number two, maybe you are saved, but you're living in rebellion to God's word. Now that's really the only two choices that you have. You're either saved or you're not saved. That's really the two choices. So in the context of a believer in Christ living in rebellion against God, that's why it's so important. If we're going to be a witness to a lost and dying world, friend, our lives have to be absolutely a living testimony that Christ has changed our life. But second of all, we also then have to share the gospel of Jesus Christ if anybody's going to be saved. That's why it's great. What a joy to know. What a joy. Well, one of the greatest compliments, if you will, that people will say often when they come to Emmanuel Baptist. And I've had people say this. I've had people tell us. They'll say, preacher, I'm so thankful to God that when I know, they'll say that if I bring somebody that is a family member or a friend that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior to a service at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, I'm positive, 100% sure that they're going to hear the gospel message. I promise you this, every service, whether I'm preaching, Brother Stephen preached, Brother Joe, or anybody else stands behind this pulpit, every service we will share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? You say, but pastor, why is it such, I mean, don't you ever get sick and tired of sharing the gospel? I mean, after all, it's the same old message, preacher. Listen, friend, we would do well as preachers and as churches to get back to the same old message. Amen? The gospel, Jesus Christ, it originated with God. Notice the operation of the gospel. Paul said it is the power of God. That's the only message that God uses to win the lost and dying world to him. Now, you know, in the context of salvation is a birth. It is literally a spiritual birth. That's why it's important. If you've been born physically, you have to have a second birth. And Jesus said that to Nicodemus in the book of John, chapter number 3. He said, Nicodemus, remember Nicodemus? He came to Jesus by night. He was a ruler. He was a Pharisee, I believe it was. He come to Jesus by night, and he says, hey, Rabbi, teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Remember what Nicodemus said? He said, we know. What did Jesus say? Nicodemus, ye must be born again. You're worried about the crowd. Nicodemus, salvation is a personal matter. Ye must be born again. Jesus said and talked about this new birth. Paul, because of this, he had this compelling purpose. He had a clear perspective. He wasn't all caught up in all the different ideas and philosophies of his day. And philosophy in the first century would have just been, there would have been the whole society would have been engulfed in philosophies of that day. But Paul says the gospel message of Jesus Christ, it's the only message. It's the power of God. It's the only message that God uses. Like a skilled surgeon, how a surgeon will operate. And we prayed, even Brother Chalice, that God would guide the surgeon's hands as he puts in the pacemaker. And we've prayed for many people over the years through surgeries that the Lord would just guide their hands. And friend, that's exactly what God does. God is like a skilled surgeon in the context when it comes to the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it penetrates hearts of lost people. It penetrates people's hearts. Those that are hardened, those that are I've had people say, all preacher, I don't know that God could ever save my husband, or God could ever save my loved ones or my family. Listen, God could save them, and I promise you this, if he does save them, it'll be through the gospel. It'll be through the gospel. That's why I've said many times, share the gospel with your family and leave the results up to God. Amen? Share the gospel. And by the way, this will help you stay balanced when it comes to soul winning. You say, but pastor, I get so discouraged when my family doesn't trust Christ. They've turned their ear away from the gospel, and I just can't live. Listen, friend, first of all this, number one, God didn't call you to save them. Right? God didn't call any of us to save them. God called us to plant seeds of the gospel of Christ. He'll do the saving. And when you speak the word, like 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the whole chapter illustrates two principles. You have the spoken word in chapter number 1 of 1 Thessalonians, but you also have to leave room for the silent witness in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. Those are really give you a balance when it comes to winning people to Christ. Those two things give you a balance when it comes to your lost loved ones that don't know Christ yet as their Savior, and you're just fretting over it, and you're losing sleep over it. Listen, I'm all for having them a burden. I'm all for praying for them. I'm all for, yes, in a sense, you know, being overwhelmed that they don't want to trust Jesus. But sweet friend, hear my heart tonight. If you've shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, and when you have opportunities and you continually share it with them, you have to leave room for the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit of God can do far greater job with that person than you and I can. So you leave room. So Paul says it's the power of God. That's the operation. That's the origin. Notice the outcome. The outcome in verse number 16. Two words, unto salvation. The outcome of the gospel is this. It produces salvation. The gospel message, Paul says, it's the only message that God uses. Why does it still work, preacher? It still works because God is the one. The outcome of the gospel, you know it, the gospel has made it. The gospel has penetrated. It produces salvation. The outcome is unto salvation. Paul had a courageous persistence in the context of this gospel. Now, what's the outreach? What's the outreach? Said, preacher, and I know, and listen, I read a lot of books, and I read a lot of different books that many will do assessments, if you will, on the local church and the ministries of the local church and what works and what doesn't work. And I read a lot of that, and you know, when you read a book, it's like eating fish, kind of. You know, my pastor used to tell me this. Anytime you read a book, you have to eat it like you do fish. He said, you eat the fish, you throw the bones away. There may be things you disagree with, but there may be things that you like. And so you eat the fish, you kind of throw the bones out. And the Apostle Paul, though, in this context, and in understanding the clarity of the gospel message, he says it originated with God. It absolutely is God is the surgeon. He is the one that has to penetrate the heart. The Holy Spirit of God has to bring conviction. The Holy Spirit of God has to show man their need of a Savior before they'll ever be saved. The Holy Spirit of God has to show them, and of course, in turn, we have to repent and we have to trust Christ. Man can reject the gospel. We see that even in the book of Acts with King Agrippa, who said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. So in the context of the message of salvation, surely it can be rejected. But leave room for the Holy Spirit. Paul then goes on. He says the power of God unto salvation. That's the outcome of it. The outcome of the gospel is people get saved. You know, I said to a preacher one time, I said, it's interesting to me how the more doors we knock on, the more people we tell about Christ, I said, the more people get saved. That's remarkable to me. Leave saving up to God. May we just be obedient soul winners that share the gospel everywhere, every chance we get an opportunity. Look at the last thing, though. What's the outreach? You say, preacher, now here's one of the big things that is in the church manuals, if you will, some of the books that you read about church stuff and how-tos and all this kind of stuff. Is years ago, they came out and they said, if a church is going to reach people, it has to have a target group. You may have heard that years ago. It came out years ago. I remember hearing this. You have to have a target group. What is your demographic that you're trying to reach? Who is the target group? And when I heard it, I thought to myself, Number one, we're not a business. Amen. Here's our target group. Anybody we can see. Anybody we have an opportunity to share the gospel with. Kids, middle-aged, teenagers, adults, senior adults, babies. That's our target group. A lost and dying world is our target group. The outreach of the gospel, Paul says, and here's what's so amazing about the gospel. He says, for it is the power of God and the salvation of everyone, here it is, to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now, the outcome of the gospel and the outreach of the gospel is to everyone. Now, we know not everybody's going to believe. You say, yeah, but preacher, not everybody's going to believe the gospel of Christ. You're right. But that should not stop us as a church to try to reach everybody. Amen? That shouldn't stop us as a church to try to reach people. And may I also say this? I think it's fair to say that the first time you heard the gospel, you didn't get saved. The first time I heard the gospel, I didn't get saved. I heard the gospel for years before I got saved. So just because somebody doesn't get saved the first time you share it, don't give up on them. Keep sharing it. Keep praying for them. As a matter of fact, if you were to add another principle to this kind of this attitude and this kind of thought that Paul is trying to bring out, he even illustrates the importance of prayer in the context of soul winning, in the context of sharing the gospel. Paul said, Paul told them that in the earlier parts, verses 8, 9, and 10. He deals with the subject of prayer in verse number 9. He says, without ceasing, in the latter part of verse number 9, he said, without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul understood the importance of prayer. The outreach to everyone that believeth. And then the last phrase is, Paul says a mouthful. He says, look at it, verse 16, to the Jew first. Now that was easy to understand. Because the Jews would even tell you that God came first to the Jew. That he brought the precepts and all the testimonies to the Jew. As a matter of fact, the nation of Israel was God's chosen nation. Remember Abraham and the Abrahamic covenant that God established with Abraham. And so the Jews were pretty proud of that. They were pretty proud and even boastful that God had showed mercy on them. And if you will, God showed special favor to the nation of Israel, to the Jewish people. And when Paul would have said the gospel of Christ, first of all, to the Jew, all the Jews would have said, that's exactly right. But the message of the gospel is not just a message to the Jew. And everybody, and if you'll grasp this principle, everybody in this room ought to be thankful to God that the gospel didn't just go to the Jew. Paul says also to the Greek, to the Gentile. Every one of us, I'd say this, I think it's fair to say, every single one of us in this room is Gentile. Aren't you thankful the gospel came to the Gentile? Paul, and there's another verses in the Word of God that tells us he came unto his own received him not. So then what Jesus do? He went to the Jews first. The Jews rejected him. So what did Christ do? He turned to the Gentile people. And thank God that he did. The message of the gospel, we need to share it as a church. The gospel still works. I promise you it still does. I promise you it will still work till, as long as we have breath. It will work as long as Jesus Christ tarries his coming. He then goes on and says, verse 17, as he continues a thought in this, he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. He said, Paul says Jesus Christ reveals his righteousness, and he does. He does it through the preaching of the gospel. He does it through the message of the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. Paul told us what the gospel was. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he tells us that the gospel is no more than the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. That's the gospel of Christ. I had somebody tell me one time that there were more than one gospel in the Bible. You say, what did you say to them? I said, they were nuts. That's exactly what I said. I said, you're crazy. I said, there's one gospel. I said, as a matter of fact, I said, the Bible says, if anyone preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. Anathema, literally, let him be damned. Literally, the Bible tells us. So the gospel, if anybody ever tells you that there's more than one way to God, man, you ought to really take a stand against that. You ought to really say, no, there's not many ways to God. There's one way to God, and His name is Jesus Christ. You're saved here tonight. You're saved here tonight if you're born again because of the message of the gospel of Christ. God used it to save you. God used it to show you. Here's the personalness of the gospel. Jesus died, was buried. He rose again. That's theology of the gospel, His death, His burial, His resurrection. Here's the personalness of the gospel. He died because of your sins. He was buried because of your sins. He rose again the third day because you needed forgiveness of your sins. That's the personalness. And the message of the gospel, it's a personal message, the personal salvation. You that are sitting here, you that are watching by internet, if you never trusted Christ your Savior, sweet friend, I encourage you right now where you're at to repent of your sin, call upon God to be your Savior, and by faith believe that Christ died for you, that He was buried for you, that He rose again the third day, asking Him to be your Savior. He'll save you. He'll change your life. He'll forgive you of all your sins. I promise you He will. The gospel still works. I promise you it does. And it will work. It will work all the way through when Jesus Christ raptures us out of here. But here's the great news. I mean, I believe the rapture could happen in my lifetime. I don't know if it's going to or not. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't mean that God isn't telling the truth, because it will happen even if it's 1,000 years from now. But the point is, we must be up and about our Father's business, and we must be sharing the gospel. I'll end with this statement. We should want to take as many people to heaven with us as we possibly can. The only way that will happen is through the gospel. Stand with me, please, for hymn invitation. Brother Stephen's going to come and lead us. We trust that the Lord has spoken to your heart, that you'll respond. Maybe you say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved, but to be honest, it's been a long time since I shared the gospel. It's been a while since I shared the message of Christ and the message of Christ that He died, was buried, rose again." It doesn't take but a few seconds, really, to share the gospel. That's all it takes. You share the gospel, leave the results up to God. Watch how the Holy Spirit will then take the gospel and just really penetrate the hearts of people. Just share it. Just share it. Really, just plant seeds in people's hearts with the gospel message. Will you do that? I hope you will. I challenge you to do that. Maybe you're here tonight and say, "Preacher, I've got some things on my heart. I've got some people on my heart I'd like to pray for. Come to the altar and pray for them, man. That'd be great." Whatever the Lord's touched your heart about, maybe you feel led, Lord, to join this church family. We'd love to have you. Our doors are always wide open. We'd love to have you a member where you can serve God alongside of us. What's your number, bud?
Number 4.